let's continue to behold the face of our Redeemer on the pages of Scripture. I'd like you to turn this morning to Matthew chapter 26. And we'll just take a few thoughts from a meditation from this portion of God's Word as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table, something we like to do every week. We remember the death, the burial, the resurrection, the return of our Savior, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. And to get our hearts ready for that, I would love to just remember some of the final moments leading up to Jesus' death on a cross 2,000 years ago. He is before the religious leaders in Matthew chapter 26. Verse 59 tells us the chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. They did not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward. But later on, two came forward and said, "This man stated, 'I'm able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said to him, "Do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes. What should have been the high priest's response to such a declaration? A quotation from Daniel chapter 7 that this is none other than the Son of Man. A declaration from Psalm 110 that this is Messiah, the coming king to rule the earth. The religious leaders should have immediately bowed before their king, humbled themselves in dust and ashes, torn their robes in repentance, and worshipped. They should have immediately sent for a crown and a robe and a scepter and a throne. Instead, tearing his robes and crying blasphemy, they knew what Jesus was saying. They knew he was claiming divinity. He fetched a crown and a robe and a scepter and the death penalty, a crucifixion. The crown was no king's crown. It was twisted from painful thorns. The scepter was no mark of a king's real dominion. It was made of reeds as a mockery. The robe was no real king's robe. It was a costume designed to poke fun. And where Jesus was lifted up was no throne, and not the honor that was due him, but a cross. Look at the next page, Matthew 27, beginning in verse 27. The soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium, and they gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. They stripped him and put the scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. They knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him. They took the reed and began to beat him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. We see here the audacity of man. Rebellious man who should be in subject to this King of all kings. And we see the patience of Christ. We also see the purpose of God. What a remarkable scene. The Prince of Life, the victim of their murderous intentions and jealousy. And all of this was to usher Jesus into midair between heaven and earth, to place him before his Holy Father, that he might be clothed in the wickedness, the sins, the rebellions of all who had put their faith in him, so that he could be punished for those sins, to to bring us to God. What a remarkable king who would lay down his life for his enemies, who he would call his friends. What love. What amazing love. It is him we celebrate. It is him that we remember this morning. It is Jesus that we want to glorify and honor. And we do so even as we remember his humiliating death. You know, the worst crime ever committed, and yet the very purpose of God to purchase our redemption. And we're going to drink some juice, which is an emblem of his blood. We're going to eat some bread, which is an emblem of his broken body. And as we consume these, we are demonstrating, we are professing, we are declaring his death until he returns. The men are going to come forward. As they come and deliver the bread and the juice, I would ask you just to examine your hearts, to contemplate the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the return of Jesus, our Messiah, our King. And consider your own heart in light of who he is and what he has done. If you've never yet believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, today could be the day of salvation for you. I would invite you to turn to him and believe in him and cast your soul completely upon him for forgiveness of sin, a right standing before God, and the guarantee of eternal life. You don't have to be a member at Grace Bible Church to partake. You just have to be in Christ. If you're not in Christ yet, I would encourage you, if you would not believe here this morning, then refrain. Refrain from celebrating that which you have no part in. But I pray that you will take part in Christ and turn to him and find life, find everything to be new. If you are examining your own heart and discover that there is sin you haven't yet confessed, I just want to encourage you, believer, to acknowledge your sin before God and rejoice in the forgiveness that was purchased by Jesus. Make a resolution, even your heart, to turn from the things that are unpleasing to God and turn from those seeds of those things and be resolved even to make things right with any human relationships you have. And take the Lord's Supper. Rejoice in what your Savior has done on our behalf. The men will come. I encourage you to take the Lord's table as you are ready, and I will close us in prayer.